Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is Sunday, August 30th, 2015, and I'm so blessed you joined us tonight. Tonight's show is titled Jesus, the Bread of Life. My prayer tonight is that you empty yourselves and fill your void with Jesus, the Bread of Life. Tonight's focus verse is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. Amen. So folks, Jesus is declaring to be what? He's declaring to be the bread of life. Jesus is saying that he is the spiritual food that everyone needs. Jesus is the food that satisfies hungry souls. Jesus fills us so that we are content. We are satisfied. You know, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God our Creator has wired all of us. He has made us to seek him, to know him, to love him, to satisfy our spiritual hunger. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he also has set eternity in the hearts of men. So God has put in every man's heart, he's put something in their heart that there's more to this world than the time we spend here on earth. There must be more. It's just wired in our within our hearts. And what do we do? What happens to us after we die? We ask these questions. People can feel, no matter how much they can deny, you know, that there's a God, how much they can deny the gospel or run away from it, they can feel deep down an eternal tugging on their hearts. And my prayer tonight, folks, is that you know and you're sure that there is an eternity, that there is a bread of life. That bread of life is named Jesus. And my prayer is that you have a deep hunger to know Jesus. And the beautiful thing about Jesus, the bread of life, is that he loves us. And he wants to bless us. He wants to feed us. His food satisfies. We can find contentment. Amen? There is a beautiful story. It's a story about Jesus. And it actually can be found in all four Gospels. I'm going to read it from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. It reads, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, and he said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people had seen the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Amen. So folks, we have a beautiful story of thousands of hungry people and Jesus, the bread of life, in their presence. Jesus asked his disciples, "How are we to feed them?" Philip, one of the disciples, says, "It would take 8 months' wages for everyone to get a bite." Andrew, Peter's brother, says that there's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Obviously not enough to feed the masses, but Jesus takes the little the people have. Again, I'll say, Jesus takes the little the people have and miraculously multiply it to feed the thousands. A pure miracle from God. Amen. So what is Jesus, the bread of life, trying to teach us? When we come to Jesus, the bread of life, and we come to him hungry, he will fill us. He will bless us. That doesn't mean our lives will become pain-free. But it does mean that Jesus, the bread of life, who is our good shepherd, will tell us to lie down in the pasture. And he will fill us and make us content. Content in his love, his care, his ways, his truth, and his life. And to that I say amen. Okay, folks, we're going to take a little break. And when I get back, we'll take some phone calls and hopefully some texts with questions and answers and prayer requests. Okay, the song I'll play is "Give Thanks." I hope you enjoy, folks.
Give thanks.
great song, Give Thanks. Give thanks for all that the Lord has given us. He's given us so much. He's blessed us immensely. We've been blessed so much in this country. But more importantly, we've been blessed with the gift of salvation. And to that, I say amen. And the beautiful gift of salvation, right? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He paid the price for our sins. And so much to be thankful for. He died that brutal death on the cross. He took such a beating. If any of you watched the movie Passion, Mel Gibson did such a great job. He truly wanted to show the real, not the sanitized version of the crucifixion, but he showed the real version, the pain, the beating that Jesus took for us. He paid the price for our sins. He hung on the cross with nails in his hands and through his feet. And he just paid such a price. And we have so much to be thankful for. And his death on the cross, you know, the story doesn't end there, folks. 3 days in the grave, he resurrected. Right? Death could not hold the Son of God down. The Holy Spirit raised him. And for all you that have the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you too, the power of the Holy Spirit will raise you one day. And what a glorious, blessed assurance that is. Amen. Okay. Thank you all that are listening in tonight. Title of the show tonight is Jesus, the Bread of Life. And Jesus proclaims that he is the bread of life. And whoever comes to him will never go hungry, that he will feed you. He will make you content. He will, all the voids in your life, he will fill. And amen to that. I will give out that number, the call-in number. You'd like to call in. You've got a blessing you want to share, or you've got a question. That number is 347-989-0095. And then I have a text number. If you'd want to text in a question or a prayer request, and that number is 630-674-4960. I want to say hi, and I probably is not listening, but I became friends with a gentleman. His name is Samuel Evans, and he's struggling with lung cancer. And I became friends with him today. I spent some time with him, the fellowship. And I was just thinking about, you know, the bread of life. And, you know, when you go through cancer, your appetite isn't that great. And so maybe his appetite for the food of this world right now isn't that great. But I saw a great hunger for Jesus and the bread of life, a hunger for the spiritual food. He had contentment in Christ. And I just want to pray blessings upon you, Samuel. It was wonderful meeting you today, and I hope to see you again. Everyone out there, keep Samuel Evans in your prayers as he battles cancer. That would be appreciated. And I'm just checking here. I might have a text question. Not yet, but again, I'll give out that number, 347-989-0095. If you'd like to call in, you know, say you've had a great blessing in your life right now, or Jesus, the bread of life, has filled you. He's made you content, even amongst times of, you know, painful times, hard times in your life, but yet Jesus was there. And we'd love to hear your story. We're all friends here. We're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, that text number, 630-674-4960. If you have a question, I do my best to try to answer it. Or if you have a prayer request, I'd love to pray for you. You know, I was thinking about this story, you know, I read, and that was in the Gospel of John, and I had mentioned that same story, and that shows the importance of it, you know, in God's Word, that it was in all four Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I read it out of the Gospel of John because it mentions the little boy bringing the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. And the thing about it is I thought about, there were so many people, so many hungry people. Isn't it kind of like a representative of the world? There were 5,000 men, and that didn't include the wives, the women, and the children. So we're talking maybe, 12 to 15,000 or more. I don't know, but there were quite a few hungry people. And this little boy brought a small amount, not enough, obviously not enough to feed the people. And Jesus, the bread of life, right? He took this small amount and he multiplied it, right? Through the power of, the power of God, it was a miracle. And Jesus, these stories in the Bible, in the gospel, they're there to tell us a story. And it's a story about the kingdom of God. It's not just a happy story and it shows how powerful God is. But this story is relative in our lives. We come to Jesus, we don't have enough. But he takes what we have and he multiplies it. He blesses it. I mean, so many times, it's impossible situations. I'm sure you all have stories out there where you just had a small amount and you didn't know how you were going to make it. And he took what you had and he multiplied it, right? And it just showed the power of his kingdom, how he wants to work through us. Amen? Okay, I do have a call. I'm going to take that call right now. Hello there. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling in tonight. The title of our show tonight is Jesus, the Bread of Life.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling in, Dave.
Glad to do it.
Good. Awesome. Tonight, I was just mentioning, Dave, that Jesus proclaims he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him will never go hungry. And I had mentioned that this story is in all 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says how important, that it be known that it was that all 4 writers of the Gospel, and the Holy Spirit moved them to write this story to proclaim that Jesus is the bread of life, that we can go to him and he will feed us. He will fill our void.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way of looking at it, filling the void. And he certainly provides our physical needs and food we need and everything that we need. If he takes care of the birds, he'll take care of us also. We'll have the food we need to eat and all that. But I think we said, filling that void in our lives. So many things in life we do, whatever the sin is that we think is going to bring us joy and fulfillment. Just keep doing it over and over again, the same thing. It's might give you momentary good feelings or whatever, but that void always comes back in the end. And Jesus fills that void in our hearts, and only he can do that, and he can fill it up, like you said, and then of course he's the only one who can fill us for eternity. He can give us eternal life through himself and what he did for us when he died on the cross and rose again. So yeah, Jesus is the bread of life is a great blessing for us for sure.
I had mentioned earlier, Dave, that that it was a little boy that had just five barley loaves and 2 fish. And there were 5,000 men, and there was probably about, 12, 15,000 people that were hungry. And Jesus took that small amount, and I mentioned that it's, if we look at it in our lives, the little that we have, God can take it and multiply it. And and make it so that our lives are, you know, that we have enough.
Yeah. That's what he does. I mean, he asks us to step out in faith and trust him. And then he just does amazing things. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves underestimating the power of God until we see his work. And then we're like, whoa, he really changed. God really changed me, you know. God really changed my relatives or friends or neighbors. Or God really, really saved a lot of people on this day or through our church or through this ministry. And it takes people acting out in faith, and we're just sinful, broken people. But it's cool that he uses us like that, and you know, he's the source of all things good. But that he'll use us, and if we'll trust in him, and little kid gives the food to Jesus, and you see what he's able to do with that. Amazing things.
Yeah, I mean, I thought of it, this little boy, and he was thinking, you know, I mean, Jesus wants us to have a faith like a little child, and I was just thinking, this little boy says, well, there's Jesus, and I know he can do anything, you know, I'll just bring him, I'll come up and I'll bring him this, because he probably told, because it was Andrew that mentioned it to Jesus, that he had this 5 loaves and 2 fish, and so, you know, this little boy says, well, Jesus can do anything. You know, I'm going to just bring this little I have. And, you know, and so I just thought of, like, us, you know, Jesus wants us to have a faith like a little child, you know, not, you know, don't limit our faith in what God can do. I just thought that was kind of cool. I just kind of read into it that way. And I don't know, it was kind of cool, you know, that Jesus wants us to have a faith, you know, he says, don't let the little children, you know, don't keep them away from me. He wants them to come. And he says, only if you have a faith like a little child will you enter the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think we read all these stories and I think we believe them. And then we just kind of like tell the stories but don't really, you know, trust that that kind of stuff can happen in our lives or in our churches or whatever. And I think God just wants us to humbly, you know, sacrificially give our lives to him and everything we have. Say, God, use us for your kingdom and do great things for your glory. And let's see people get saved and all that, you know, just put it. But we need to be sacrificial, not selfish. And we need to be humble and not prideful, because you know we could think I don't think anything's gonna happen if I can give away this bread and fish, but I don't think anything, there's no way, you know, this is gonna happen, so I'm just gonna go ahead and sell it for a few bucks here, it might be the best bet for me, you know, just
thinking we
got a better plan. And not trusting, not putting enough faith in miracles that God can do. But maybe he says over and over again that he sends us out into the world to make disciples. And we just have to trust him that he's going to continue to miraculously save people.
Yeah, and if God moves you to do something, I mean, you know that, you know, good Lord wants you, you know, whatever ministry that you may be in, you're in the children's ministry day, but or whatever, someone might have some type of ministry, and God has moved you to, you know, to do that, and you feel like, oh my gosh, I need money, I need this, I need that, but I mean you can't just sit back, but if you're there honestly serving him, and he will fill those needs, and I'm sure you might have some stories, Dave, to tell, and how, you know, you've been blessed, you know, as you've, you know, you worked in your ministries.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had a community near us that we reach out through to, like, through like a
sports leagues and do all sorts of stuff in his community. And we had a lot of people driving kids to church and all that. And one day the pastor said, hey, we should try to raise money to get a van. And it's like, you know, where the heck are we going to come up with over 20 grand to try to get a van for picking up kids in the community to bring them to church? So, well, we did it. We put it into the bulletin, and lo and behold, over not very long at all, people believed and that God can use that and do great things. And here we go. We got a van. It's kind of amazing. It happened so
yeah.
It didn't take too long. I mean, it takes a while, but it didn't take too long. We've been running the van for a long, good while now, and bringing kids in the church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and it's been great. And it's one of those things where it's like, wow, I didn't really believe that was going to happen, and it happened. So it's like, ye of little faith, and kind of God showing you. You know, if he's in something, he can do it. You know, there's nothing going to stop God from doing what he wants to do for his kingdom. And we just need to be quit being weak-kneed and, you know, trust that he is the bread of life and live for him.
Yeah. Go ahead. You finish what you're saying.
No, that was it. That was it.
No, I was just thinking about the world. I mean, everyone's out there, and a lot of people. I mean, I mentioned the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, where it says that God has put eternity in all men's hearts. So deep down, I don't care how extreme an atheist someone is, deep down everyone knows that, you know, there's a God, and there's more than this world. There is an eternity. A lot of people get, you know, pushed away from church and religion, and so life has been pretty good. You know, they might be in their, you know, 30s or 40s, and their health is good, their kids are doing good, everyone's doing good, and they're feeding their own selves. You know, I mean, they're just saying, you know, I don't need this religion, and things right now are going good. You know, but I'm a victim of that. When I was younger, I ran away from God for, you know, a good 20 plus years, Dave. And you know what? Life can be good for a while, but eventually, you know, the cupboard's going to run dry, and you're going to look for answers, and you're going to need to be fed. And I'm here to say that, you know, I was one of those that, you know, that I started coming up empty, and I was looking for somehow to be fed, and I found Jesus, the bread of life, and I say amen to that.
Yeah, and it's just really understanding who he is. I mean, if it's just some religion, some rules, some ideas about how to be moral and good, then, you know, you can just pick or choose whether you're going to do that. But if he says, I'm the only way to heaven, if he says, I'm the only way to fill yourself up, to fill that void, to fill that emptiness, says the purpose of life is to serve him and worship him, then you can't just ignore that. And people that try to get ignored, I think the reason people get more mad at, you know, so mad about Christianity is because I think they want to ignore it, but they can't. There's something inside them that realizes, you know, there's something here. I have to deal with it. I have to come up with an answer for what I think about Jesus. Because if he is who he says he is, and that affects what I do in my life and how I live, and I need to choose his way or my way, and then you got to make a choice. Like you said, the my way thing is, yeah, it'll leave you empty.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking about a lot of times I don't know about you, Dave. I mean, everyone doesn't want to always hear the truth. I mean, if someone tells you something truth that hurts, you don't want to hear it. And I think a lot of people just, you know, like if you, you know, say I'm a Christian and I believe that, you know, Jesus is the truth. You know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, he's the only way. People don't want to hear that. You know, they just want to think that, you know, every way is a good way, and, you know, my my truth is my truth, your truth is yours, and you know, and then you come along and all of a sudden you're Johnny Christian and you're saying that Jesus is the only way, you know, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way the world is now and the media, this moral relativism and everything, they don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that there's only one truth. I don't want to hear that. I got a good thing going here right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's true or it's not. And if you decide it's not true, then you make your life decisions based on that. But if it is true, then I mean, you got a serious thing to deal with here, because I mean, we're talking about eternity here, and so it's not something to just blow off. I don't like the sounds of some of this stuff, so I'm just gonna blow it off. So, you know, you gotta determine if you believe Jesus is Lord or not, and if you do, then you can't just brush it, decide that you believe it's true, and then just brush it aside. That ain't gonna work, because there's a lot of, it's a demanding thing to give your life to something or someone, and it's a big call, and you can't just be half in. You're either all in or you're not in. So
yes, amen to that. I was also thinking about, Dave, the you know, we have the bread of communion, which is supposed to represent, you know, the presence of Jesus in the bread, and as we, you know, we commemorate his, you know, his death, and we're to, you know, take communion and as a worship, you know, as a congregation, and then and just how that expresses, you know, the life of Christ and how he gave his life. I think that's a nice expression of Jesus, you know, being the bread of life, but also when we take communion, you know, we remember Jesus for what he did. He died for us and gave his life for us.
Yeah, I mean,
given
that's
us eternal life.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about it. He is the bread of life. So in the communion, the bread represents his body that was broken for us, and without him dying on the cross and shedding his blood, which is the wine represents, without him doing that, there's no salvation to be found. That's the only way to be saved, is that he took the punishment for our sins. So the bread represents his body that was broken for us, and talks about himself being the bread of life, and you know, we can always be full on him and have eternity through him. It was actually through that act on the cross, dying for our sins on the cross, with his body being broken, that makes that possible.
Amen. No. And the preclude to that, Dave, I always like to look at the parallels between the Old and the New Testament, and you know, the bread of the Passover, and the blood on the you know, the blood on the doorpost, and then also the bread, the unleavened bread of the Passover. And that represent, you know, in the Old Testament, it represented the freedom from the angel of death. You would be protected. I like that the Old Testament always points, you know, everything points to Jesus. I mean, not always right jumps out at you, but if you do your research, you can look in the Old Testament and everything, like the Passover and the Passover lamb, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. So there's these wonderful parallels, you know, in the Old and New Testament, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got the sacrificial lamb, which we recognize, you know, Jesus. One of the ways we recognize Jesus is, you know, he sacrificed, the Lamb of God, sacrificed his life for us. And then, like you said, the blood on the door, just like the blood saved them from the death. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff, and you could look at that, and you could look at what Jesus did and how he sacrificed his life, just like the lamb was sacrificed for them, and then mm-hmm. his blood was shed, you know. And so there's, yeah, you talk about a lot of things that you can compare there, and like you said, I mean, you'd have to be trying to ignore the stuff to not see Jesus in the Old Testament, because, you know, it's pointing us towards our, when you're not like, well, that doesn't make me think directly of Jesus. Well, when you're talking about commandments and all these, got all of God's laws showing that he demands perfection, you know, to enter his kingdom, to enter his heaven. And he wanted us to see that we can't do that. We can't do it on our own. And we needed a sacrifice. So you see that in the sacrificial system. And then seeing how Jesus ultimately is our, you know, he's our high priest. He's our sacrifice that we needed. And he's God come in the flesh to save us. And he's the only one that can do it. So pretty awesome God. And I'm grateful to live in the world where it's such a loving and merciful and forgiving God, because we certainly don't deserve it.
No, we don't. That's for sure. And it doesn't matter what you did, Dave. Right? I mean, you could be Hitler, John Wayne Gacy. No matter what sin you've committed, there's nothing that Jesus cannot forgive. If you come to him with a broken, repentant heart, you know, come to him knowing that you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins, you come to him and ask him to be your savior. You know, there's no one that he cannot forgive and take into his kingdom. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's a hard thing for many people to understand. You see some of these mass murderers, and I've heard people say to me, they go, you mean someone that went out and killed, you know, 30, 40 people, God can forgive them and take them to heaven, and I might find them in heaven one day? And I said, yeah, that's God's loving mercy and, you know, his ability to forgive. Not like we can, you know.
I mean, the mistake we always make is, you know, thinking of ourselves as the good guy and everyone else as a scramble out.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know,
that's true.
I mean, Jesus says if you hate someone in your heart, you've committed murder.
Yeah.
You know, if you lust for someone, you've committed adultery. So the standard's so high that we all fail miserably every day. So, you know, and if it makes us feel better to point it up, someone else's sins that are worse than ours, and to make ourselves feel better, I mean, that's not what God has intended. And God has intended for us to love people and even our enemies, and he intends for us to recognize that we're sinners and we need Jesus and be thankful to receive him. And it's certainly got to be hard for people to forgive people that have done brutal things to them, but God has the power to forgive anyone who turn to him in faith.
Yeah, and I was getting back to, you know, Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And just to think about that, Dave, never go hungry, that he'll always satisfy you. And I was mentioning that doesn't mean that you will not go through, you know, pain or suffering in your life, but that Jesus, if you go to him, he'll always feed you, and you can be content in him. And for me, that's sometimes hard to comprehend because I struggle with my own emotions and sometimes anxieties, and that shows that, you know, I'm human, we're all human, and, you know, we tend sometimes to put, you know, wait before we run to Jesus. And I say today that when you're struggling through a hard time, you go to Jesus first. It'll be a lot easier that way. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we just try to be so strong on our own. But, I mean, the scriptures make it clear that we're weak on our own. I mean, if you read Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, all of our strength against the evil one comes through trusting in God's power, trusting in God's salvation, you know, having faith in who God is and in God's power, you know, going forth with the gospel through the power of the Spirit, the power of God's word, sharing God's word, and Yeah, and then ultimately, praying all the time. And I think we're pretty weak as that as a culture has been prayer. And
yeah.
So just praying to God, and like you said, when we're weak, pray to God and stop trying to be Mr. Independent tough guy. I think the culture teaches us that we need to be strong and suck it up and do it on our own, but that's not God's plan.
Yeah, that's human nature. That's how we are, but yeah, and that's where we need to get strong too, Dave. Like you said, prayer. Well, the power of prayer. How we could do so much more if we would pray more. I can, when I really get into deep prayer, Dave, I could feel His presence. And it's a pretty cool thing. And it's telling me that He's listening. He's here. He's touching me, and He hears my prayer. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Other times you feel pretty full, I'm sure. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was just kind of contemplating. I was looking at a few verses I had written down, but is there any, I know you mentioned about the van. There's any other stories? Well, you know what? I just have to say, and without getting into details, is the last couple of weeks or maybe the last month, it seems like whatever I do for the Lord, Dave, He's been multiplying it 10 times back to me. It's like it's unbelievable the way He's blessed me. It's just crazy, crazy things are, I give so much and then I get 10 times back, and it's been happening to me the last, 2-3 weeks, and it's been pretty cool, I have to say, and I thank God and I praise Him for it. He's been feeding me very well, Dave.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, man. And for me, it's just like I'm so thankful for God's blessings, and then just seeing Him working in lives of people in the church and changing people and seeing people being baptized and saved and growing mm-hmm. closer to Jesus. And it's a cool thing to see God at work. And He's so powerful, and we just need to trust Him and admit our sins and turn to Him and keep doing that over and over again, and continue to have faith in Jesus and His power, and awesome things could happen.
Yep. And what's the John 15:14, Dave, where it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, you'll be obedient to me. And what's the Great Commission, right, in Matthew, is to go out and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Great Commission isn't just for pastors and assistant pastors. It's for all of us. So anyone out there listening, God has given us that commission to share the good news. Tell others about the bread of life. That whoever does come to Him, that they will not go hungry, that He will feed them and fill their void. Amen, Dave?
Amen, amen. It's a powerful God we serve, for sure. So anyone out there that's never put their faith in Jesus, today's the day. If you believe that He died for your sins and rose again, if you believe in His power, if you have faith that He can forgive you and raise you from the dead and raise your life up from the dead now, clean you from your sins and set you on a path where you follow Him as His disciple. And if you believe that He can adopt you into His family as His child and that He loves you, just give Him your life and just kind of experience the power of God and just see how He will keep you full in ways that you've never experienced before. Because outside of Jesus, there's, moments of happiness, I'd say, But there's mm-hmm. also that nagging feeling inside of you, or just feeling of, you know, emptiness or not content or not peaceful or not joyful. And you can never really put your finger on it exactly, but, you know, God feels that, and he keeps you full on how awesome He is. And the more time we spend with Him in prayer and His Word, the more we experience that, you know.
Yes, yes. Well said, Dave. Very well said. Thank you. Would you like to, I don't know, I'm going to kind of wrap things up pretty soon. Would you like to close in prayer, and then I'll just kind of wrap the show up from there?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Dave.
Sure. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your awesomeness, and just thank you for creating us and creating the world and loving us so much. You sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins and rise again. And through that, we could have, through faith in you, we can have eternal life, God. Return from our sins and believe in you, we can be saved forever. Thank you for that. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life, who keeps us full and gives us the opportunity to be well-fed spiritually and physically and just cared for by an awesome and loving God. And I just pray, God, that we will all turn from our sins and follow you and be brave and bold in our faith, not because of our strength, but because of your power and trusting in your power to care for us as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Thanks for calling in, and I will see you in a couple of days.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Thank you. Okay, that was my son Dave calling in from Fort Worth, Texas, all the way down there. So happy when he calls in. Works hard for the Lord. He's a youth pastor down in Fort Worth, Texas, and does a great job with the young minds, teaching them about Jesus Christ. And just like to say thanks for listening to tonight's show. The word that I've been getting, the Holy Spirit's been kind of, that I've been getting on my heart is the word revival. And my prayer is tonight that we have repentant hearts. Before you can have revival, you have to have repentance. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us all a heart of repentance. A heart that realizes our sin, a need to clean ourselves up, a need to want to follow you and follow your way, to follow your truth, your life. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone out there, the folks to have a heart of repentance, and that this repentant hearts would lead to a revival. Because this country needs a revival, Lord. We are so void of you, Lord. So many of us need you. Our lives are incomplete without you. And so, Lord, I pray for that spirit of repentance and then coming spirit of revival. Our country, spiritually, Lord, we're dying and we need you, Lord. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to just say to everyone out there, let the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. And let that Spirit lead you in the way of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'd like to say good night, folks. God bless. And God care for you and keep you. Good night, folks.
Just as you are. the Spirit calls. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Come just